Well, happy Monday, dear friends. I'm glad you've come back to join us on Bible Sunshine. Can you believe it's the 15th day of June already? Here we are. Tomorrow we start the second half of June. Well, we have a wonderful opportunity to gather for a few minutes and study God's Word together. So I hope you'll open your Bible up to Philippians chapter 3 or find it on your phone. And let's study God's Word together. But before we do, let's pray. Father, open our eyes to understand your truth. Give us tender hearts to obey, to follow you. And help us, Lord, to faithfully pursue after Christ day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to reread Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. We're looking at how we can make progress in the Christian life, how we can take another step forward, how we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And from verse 12, I understand this principle. In order to grow, in order to make progress, I need to understand that I have not yet arrived to full maturity. I do not possess full knowledge of Christ. I have not obtained the perfection of the resurrection, and I must relentlessly pursue Christ to understand his purpose for saving me, to fulfill his plan for me, and I seek not shortcuts to maturity. I run the race with diligence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul talks about the race. Athletic metaphors were in his mind. He thought about the comparison between the athletes in the stadium and the Christian life. So he says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know you not? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." We are to run the race of the Christian life for the prize that is set before us. He says in verse 27, "I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Well, here's another principle. What helps me to progress in the Christian life? This: I need to let go, that is, forget the past. Even the negative past, even the positive past, I need to let go, to forget. Paul says back to Philippians chapter 3, brethren, in verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the goal. I haven't become fully like Christ. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Notice Paul's singular focus. One thing I do, the most important thing in my life, Paul says, is pursuing Christ. It's growing in him. It's knowing him. And here's what I need to do. I need to forget the things which are behind. Let's think for a moment of the life of the Apostle Paul. What was behind for him? Well, on the negative side, he had been a persecutor of believers. He had been the cause for believers being chained and imprisoned. Remember, he stood and held the coats of those who killed Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Saul of Tarsus was there. So this is part of what was behind for Paul. And he says here, I need to forget the things that are behind. In verse 6 of chapter 3, notice he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's what was behind for him. Past failures, past sins. And he says, I need to press on past them. Because he had been forgiven in Jesus Christ, he now had the righteousness of Christ applied to his account. You know, I believe that the devil loves to defeat or try to defeat God's people by reminding us of past sins that have been forgiven. Paul says, I need to forget the past. Think with me just for a moment. I must resist the defeat of pondering past sins. Now, our consciences can remind us of sin. If we have not confessed it, then we need to do what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when sin comes to mind that we've never confessed, let's confess it. 1 John 1:9 promises that we will be not only forgiven, but cleansed. Don't you love that? We are cleansed from all unrighteousness. So when our hearts, our consciences remind us of something, the Spirit of God brings it to mind and we realize, I never dealt with that. Then we confess it and we find forgiveness and cleansing. But what if our friends remind us maybe of a way that we offended them? Then what can we do? Well, we can ask forgiveness from God, but ask forgiveness from them. What if friends are being mean and they remind us of some past sin in our life and they're just trying to goad us, to make fun of us, so-called friends, maybe acquaintances who are not believers, and they want to remind us of some past failure? Well, what do we do then? We say, yes, but Jesus has forgiven me. If as a believer we offend some other person, some non-believer, let's say, one of the best things we can do is simply acknowledge and say, you know, you're right, I'm a Christian, and what I just said or did was not according to my Christian faith. It was wrong of me. Will you forgive me? That's a great therapy, and it helps us to forget what's in the past. Our enemies will remind us, and so we can admit, yes, I sin, but we can testify, God's grace has forgiven me. I love Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So if someone comes to you and they remind you of some sin that they know about that was before you came to know Christ, use it as a platform to testify. Don't let it be a tool for the devil to beat you down. Instead, say to that friend, you're absolutely right. That was very wrong. But I have come to Jesus, and Jesus has saved me. He has forgiven me, and that sin has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. It can be a great witness opportunity. The devil would love to defeat us by reminding us of past sins because he is the accuser of the brethren. In Revelation chapter 12, I just love this passage that shows the victory we have in Jesus Christ. It says in verse 10 of chapter 12, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The devil loves to accuse God's people. He did it to Job. He will do it to us. He will accuse us incessantly, day and night, accusing us before God. He will seek to defeat us because of past sins. And we are helpless before him until we go to the cross and we point there and we say, the blood of Jesus. They overcame, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And by the word of their testimony. So we inculcate, we have the word of God, the message of the gospel as part of our testimony, our lives, and we resist the devil based on the truth of the word of God. So dear friend, if you're today sad or depressed because the devil is accusing you of something that's behind the cross, under the blood, then go again to the cross and resist the evil one based on not our merit, not your merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I want to forget the past. You see, he was guilty of some awful things. He tells of himself that he was a blasphemer. He persecuted the church of God, but Jesus forgave him, cleansed him. And in order to make spiritual progress, we can't drive down the highway of the Christian life only looking in the rearview mirror. We can't do that. That is a recipe for disaster, for a spiritual wreck. Let's look ahead and look to the cross, look to Christ. I want you to notice a powerful, precious verse in the book of Micah, the Old Testament book of Micah. There is a truth, and there's a little song that we sing based on this verse. Micah chapter 7, listen to these verses. Micah 7 verse 18. By the way, there's also a great hymn that John Newton, the one who wrote Amazing Grace, wrote based on these verses. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Micah 7 verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, I shall live eternally. My sins are gone. Isn't that a great truth? A chorus that you may remember from children's church or from Sunday school days. Our sins buried in the deepest sea. And as someone noted, that God puts up a sign that says, no fishing. The devil will fish. Unkind people will fish. But we realize when we go to the cross, they've been forgiven. They're buried in the deepest sea. Praise the Lord. In order to make spiritual progress in the Christian life, I need to forget the past, sins of the past, and rejoice in the victory of Jesus. Well, today let's go to two countries, the same peninsula, North Korea and South Korea. North Korea is number one on the persecution ranking. Over 24.5 million people. Here's a little note about this country. Autonomous religious activity almost non-existent. It's been our privilege to help a balloon project sponsored by Child Evangelism Fellowship that launches gospel balloons from South Korea, headed by the winds to North Korea so that the gospel will go there. There are some believers there, but they face horrific persecution. Let's pray for this country. And then South Korea, where Christians are prospering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that our sins are forgiven, buried in the deepest sea, as it were. Thank you that in Christ we stand forgiven at the cross. And Father, I pray for brothers and sisters in Christ who are in North Korea facing persecution, opposition, threats. Oh God, will you protect them? Lord, I ask that you would touch the heart of those evil dictators in power there. We lift them up to you, Lord, and pray that their hearts would be softened. We pray that somehow they would hear the gospel and respond to it. We pray that freedom would be given to believers there. Strengthen those who are in concentration camps. May they stand strong for Christ and give them food and water, Lord, we pray today. And for South Korea, we pray that you will bless the missionary activity from this country where they're sending missionaries around the world. Use them for your honor and glory. And may they be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, have mercy on the United States of America, that we would turn to you is our hope, that we would turn to you for healing, not only from sickness and this virus, but from the woes that are in our society because we've disregarded you. Send a revival by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. God bless you, friend. Thank you so much for joining us. May you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. Lord willing, we'll gather again tomorrow at 12 o'clock for Bible Sunshine. Share it with a friend. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.